Ephesians 5:18. If you have it, put it up. Let's stand as we read the Word of God tonight. The Word of God says, "And be not drunk with wine." Come on, read together. Let's start over. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's read the last part of that again. "But be filled with the Spirit." Father God, we thank you for the presence of the Spirit of God in this house. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We acknowledge you as Almighty God. We acknowledge our need, our dependence upon you. And we ask you, who is the Spirit of truth, to speak to our hearts tonight. Bring revelation, bring understanding and enlightenment to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about, based on the scripture we read, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul made this imperative. This imperative that the Apostle Paul stated to be filled with the Spirit is as powerful and as strong as the prohibition of being drunk with wine. Now, when he says, "Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess," don't think it necessarily means just wine, but we can get drunk off the things that the spirit of this world offers us and presents to us. And the Apostle Paul says to us, "But be filled with the Spirit." It is necessary for the church, the body of Christ, to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to accomplish the mission that God intended and intends for the church. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And as we look at the body of Christ today, we are not filled with the Spirit of God. We have more of the world in us than we in the church care to acknowledge. To be filled with anything means that there is no room for anything else. Amen. He didn't say have some of the Spirit. He didn't say be half full of the Spirit. He said be filled with the Spirit. So that means that if we are filled with the Spirit of God, then there is no room for anything else in us. We don't have room in these temples that the Bible says is the temple of God. We don't have space in these vessels, in these temples, for anything of the world. So when we are filled with the Spirit of God, then we will move in the power and authority of God. And just by the fruit that comes from the church, it is evident that we are not yet filled with the Spirit of God. And we must be if we are going to accomplish what the Father intends. Look at Jesus for a moment. The Bible tells us, we turn to Luke 4:1, the Amplified. Now, the setting of this verse is Jesus has just been baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And the Bible says that as he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descended upon him. And this then follows. And it says, "Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit." Now, it didn't say Jesus half full, but Jesus full of and controlled by the Spirit of God. Jesus was full of the Spirit of God, and he had to be full of the Spirit of God before he began his earthly ministry. Now, later in that same chapter 4 of Luke, we won't develop that, but after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, was full of the Spirit of God, he then experienced a temptation in the wilderness by the devil. The devil tried all he had on Jesus. If you be the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. He had fasted 40 days and he hungered, the Bible said. So the devil tested and tempted him, and he went through the test. And it ends by saying, and Jesus returned full of the Spirit. He endured the test. He endured the temptation of the devil, and he returned still full of the Spirit. So in other words, if we are going to be able to overcome the challenges of the enemy, the tests and temptations of the enemy, we must be full of the Spirit, and we cannot leak in the process. Jesus did not leak out, allow any of this fullness of the Spirit within him to leak out, to seep out. And when we begin functioning in our flesh and carnality, the Spirit begins to leave us. But Jesus endured the test, and he returned full of the Spirit of God. And Jesus had to be filled with the Spirit before he could accomplish that which the Father had intended for him. Now, I want us to appreciate this fact. Every miracle and act of power that Jesus did in the earth, everything he did emanated or originated from his human body. Now, get a picture of this. The miracles he did, everything came from his human body. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. But everything he did in earth, he did as a human, so that he could be our example and we can follow him. Everything he did in earth, when he walked the earth, it emanated from his human body. The woman with the issue of blood touched the clothes on his body and was made whole. Jesus touched the hand of Jairus' daughter, who was dead, and she came to life. Jesus sent a word that came out of his body, from his body, to the centurion's servant, and he was healed that same hour. Jesus spoke a word to a storm and said, "Peace be still," and the storm ceased. Jesus touched a casket with a dead boy, and the boy came to life. All these are emanating from the human body of Jesus, who is filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus spoke a word to Lazarus, who was dead, and said, "Come forth." And the man got up out of the tomb. This is what God has purposed, not just for Jesus, but for you and for me. We must, as the body of Christ, get a different mindset. When we study the Bible, when we see the mighty acts that Jesus did, we must begin seeing ourselves doing those things too. That's the Father's plan. So now, Jesus, this miracle-working Jesus, full of the Spirit of God, now he is preparing to leave. And in Acts 1:8, he says to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after," if you have it, put it up, Acts 1:8, "but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Now, you must understand the plan of the Father. He says now, you are going to receive the same power I received. So he said, now, you are going to be witnesses unto me. But you need power to do it. You must be filled with the Spirit of God and power in order to do what you're called to do. Now, understand something. We haven't always understood what it means to be a witness unto Jesus. It's one thing to tell somebody that Jesus loves them and give them a tract, but that doesn't take power. If we are going to be witnesses unto Jesus, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must move in power and authority the same way Jesus did. You see, we haven't yet fully embraced the fact that this is a power gospel. It's a supernatural gospel. That's why the world doesn't pay us any attention right now, because we have not demonstrated the truth of the gospel. We have not yet been proper witnesses unto Jesus. When we do, and I say when because we are going to do it, when we do, you're going to see this lost world come running to Jesus. You see, God is preparing us for the great harvest of souls. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. And if we're going to move as proper representatives of Jesus, then there must be power emanating in our lives. Now, after Jesus made this statement to his disciples, he ascended on high. The earthly body of Jesus is no longer in the earth. Gone to the Father. But he said, I want you all to wait. Tarry. There's a promise of my Father that's coming to you. Now, we won't go there right now, but over in John 16, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, it is for your good, it's expedient for you that I go away. because if I don't go away, the Father will not send the Comforter. But if I go away, He's going to send the Comforter to you. Now, what, as awesome as Jesus was, now His disciples have been with Him for 3.5 years. And now He is saying to them, it is for your good that I leave you. See, now the Father got a plan, and we must, as children of God, must comprehend and buy in to the Father's plan. So Jesus ascends. His body goes up right in front of their eyes. And they wait. They go to an upper room and wait. But they didn't wait forever. And something happened. See, we understand these scriptures. We've heard them many times. But we must connect them so that we have understanding and revelation. Acts 2, 1 says, if we have it, good. You all, everybody know this, but it says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The significant piece that we must catch here is that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They are now filled. Understand something about the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about. We're talking about God Himself. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead. He is Almighty God. He's all-powerful. He is omniscient. He's everywhere present. He is Almighty God. So when we're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, we're talking about being filled with God. I mean, don't think spiritually about this stuff. We are to be filled with God. So, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Spirit of God. They were filled with the same Spirit by which Jesus was filled when He came up out of the Jordan. Now, I want us to get a picture also of the plan of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Have that, put it up good. It's amplified. What this does is gives us a picture of the plan of the Father, what the Father is after. It says, and He has put all things under His feet and has appointed Him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is His body. That's us. The fullness of Him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of Him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with Himself. It's the plan of the Father that the head, Jesus, will now fill his body. Jesus, who is filled with the Spirit, now will fill his body. So on the day of Pentecost, Jesus' human body is at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is. But he gets another body on the day of Pentecost. The church is birthed. The church is birthed in power because the church is filled with the Spirit of God. And we see now, and we will see in the book of Acts, mere human beings, just like you and I, performing miracles and acts of power, just as Jesus did, because they are now filled with the Spirit of God. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Going to the Father means the Holy Spirit is coming to fill us. So the works that Jesus did, we are to do also. And greater works. Greater works. You see, if someone was going to be healed or delivered or set free when Jesus walked the earth, that miracle, that act of power had to come from Jesus' body, human body. But now, the greater works are, there are millions throughout the earth who have the potential and the very promise of the Father to do the same works that Jesus did when he walked the earth. Because we must be and will be filled with the Spirit of God. And we can and will be filled with the Spirit of God. It's necessary to be filled. You see, we will not come to a place of saying, "I will do." This is for another day, but I'll just say this now. We must come to a place of recognizing that we are not filled with the Spirit of God. We are not. It's evident that we're not. Because to be filled with the Spirit of God means that we have emptied out everything else. We are free from this world system. But we are very contaminated yet by the world. Jesus is in heaven with the Father. The Spirit has come. The church is birthed. And in Mark 16:17, Jesus makes a statement. This is before he left, but he's preparing them as he's preparing us. He said this, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And to get a picture of this, and they went forth, the disciples, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. I thought he was in heaven. Didn't you say that? That he was in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But now we see him working with them in earth as they go forth, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So we get the picture of what happened. They are now filled with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of Jesus himself. And they are going forth doing the work of God. And Jesus is right there with them, confirming the word. In a book by Andrew Murray entitled The Four Blessings of Pentecost, I'm going to read the Four Blessings of Pentecost. I'm going to read just a paragraph that he stated on this issue. He said, Jesus Christ, the crucified, the glorified, the Lord from heaven, came in spiritual power by the Spirit to impart to them that ever-abiding presence of their Lord that had been promised to them. Him whom they had in the flesh living with them on earth, they now receive by the Spirit in his heavenly glory within them. Instead of an outward Jesus near them, they now obtain the inward Jesus within them. So it's all the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now in them and abiding in them. And now we see mere humans who are filled with the Spirit of God begin moving in this authority and power. That's what we see in Acts chapter 3. You know the story about the lame man at the gate Beautiful. Peter and John were going to pray. And this man is there asking alms. And Peter said something to this man that was quite bold. He said to this man, look on us. Look on us. And Peter said, then, silver and gold, I don't have any of that. But such as I have, I'm going to give it to you. I got something. I don't have silver and gold. That's what you want. But that's not what I have. That's not what I'm going to give you. But I got something. So you look on me. Look on us. And he said, I'm going to give you what I have. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this man jumped up, leaped, went into the temple praising God. Why? They are now filled with the Spirit of God. And as they were working, as they went, Jesus went with them, working through them, confirming the word. When Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, Jesus confirmed that. He said, yeah, get up and walk in my name. And the man had to get up and walk. So when we see these things in the Bible, let's not be so awed by them that we cannot see ourselves doing the same work. Now, in Acts 4, 7, and 10, we see something also with Peter. That because after this, you know, folks didn't like it. They were disturbed. The rulers, the church folk, was disturbed by this. This was outside of their realm of influence. So this influence has now come, and they don't know what's going on. They don't like it. So the Bible says this in Acts 4, 7. And when they, meaning the rulers, had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, everybody said the next line, filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter now filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to do this stuff. Peter said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Let me backtrack just 1 minute with Peter. Now, do you all remember when Jesus was taken prisoner from the Garden of Gethsemane? All the others ran away, but Peter followed afar. And Peter was in the courtyard, and a little girl, little maid girl, accused Peter of being one of Jesus' followers. And Peter was intimidated by a little girl. But now, 3 weeks later, we see Peter change, standing in front of those who crucified Jesus now with confidence and boldness. Why? He filled with the Spirit of God. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. A transformed man, transformed by the Spirit of God. What are we afraid of? Let me tell you this. There is stuff coming down the pike right now. I mean, it's here. Where? If we are not filled with the Spirit of God, power and authority, we will not stand in the face of opposition and declare what thus saith the Lord. You got leaders right now backtracking because of the popular culture, because of the world system, because of fear of man. It's not popular on certain issues to say what the Bible says. And you nor I will stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, if we are not filled with the Spirit of God. We will not stand. That's why the church is very irrelevant in our culture today. Because compromise, fear, and that is so because we are not filled with the Spirit of God. Now, when I say filled with the Spirit of God, I am not talking about speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongue 1 minute and cuss somebody out the next minute with the same tongue. Let's get real. That is no power. Look, the church is in bad shape, and we will not get well unless we realize we're sick. You understand what I'm saying? There is a mission the Father has for us. And we must at some point come to ourselves and our senses and realize that we are not about our Father's business. The world has a grip on us. And we will not address it until we come to recognize that we are weak, we are impotent, we are irrelevant in the society. And we are misrepresenting Jesus Christ. I have come to the conclusion, and it wasn't difficult for me to get there, that I am not filled with the Spirit of God. No, I'm not. Not yet. But I am understanding something about the process and what it costs to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you desire, if I desire to be filled with the Spirit of God, then that means I have to get rid of everything else. Everything. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about a little dab, or do you? We're out of the Brill Cream age. We must be filled with. Now, I know some of the young folks don't know nothing about Brill Cream. But we must be willing to sell everything, as the man did who sold everything to buy the field to get the pearl of great price. We must be willing to do that. Now, we all have to ask ourselves, am I willing to count the cost, to pay the price, to be filled with the Spirit of God? Because in order to be filled with the Spirit of God, I must be emptied out of everything else so that the Spirit of God can fill me. And when the Spirit of God fills me, there can be an overflow, even as it was with Peter. When he walked down the street, because of the overflow, others got blessed. People got blessed by his shadow because he was filled with the Spirit and his temple could not contain the fullness of the Spirit of God. So they began bringing the lame into the street and sitting them in the street so that his shadow may heal them. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, in Acts 6:3, when they are looking to get some deacons, the church is growing. The apostles realize that, look, we can't do this work. We must give ourselves to prayer and the Word of God. So we need to appoint some others to do the work. We need deacons. Now, look at the type of man they're looking for to do the work. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. So look, they cannot do the work of God unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. No point in sending them out, no reason to appoint them to anything for God unless you are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom whom we may appoint over this business. It was a prerequisite in the early church that you be filled with the Spirit of God if you're going to do anything for God, because I can't do anything of myself. You can't do anything of yourself. It is only by the Spirit of God working through us that we can do anything. Now, one of the deacons they appointed was Stephen. Y'all know about Stephen. Full of the Holy Ghost. And when he was called to task, he had the boldness. I wish we could read the whole chapter, but we won't. In Acts 7. But he had the boldness to stand up in the face of his enemies and declare, "Thus saith God." And when he did, the Bible says they begin to gash their teeth and begin to rush at him and stone him. But look at this. I mean, this makes me want to shout. I don't know what it does to you. But look, but he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. This is the deacon, not apostle. Being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. Jesus had to get up on this one. Standing at the right hand of God. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take a church that is no longer drunk with wine, no longer drunk with the things that the world offers, no longer intoxicated with this world and on this world system. It's going to take a church who's filled with the Spirit of God in order to accomplish the Father's will in the earth. It is necessary for us as individual members of the body of Christ to address this matter in our lives. It can no longer be church as usual. We are the body Christ Jesus himself. When Jesus ascended to heaven, God the Father did not plan that the deal was over. It was just beginning. This was the beginning of the real deal. Jesus came and did what he was supposed to do. He sacrificed his life. He came as a human, obeyed the Father in every way, submitted himself to the Father, even to death on a cross, finished his assignment, went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, who now desires to fill us. We got to get over tongues. Nothing wrong with tongues. I speak in tongues. But tongues is not power. Us charismatics and Pentecostals, we got to stop looking down our nose at denominational people because we ain't got nothing no more than they do. We talk in tongue on Sunday, but we cuss on Monday. And perhaps by the time we get to our car on Sunday. Come That's not what Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for. So we must come to a place of recognizing and being honest with ourselves as to where we are. And I have found in my life that the most difficult thing for a human being to do, for me to do, and I think for a human being to do, is to be honest with ourselves about ourselves. It's been the most difficult and challenging thing in my life. Just sit down and say, look, toss it. Look, just sit down. Sit down. No, shut up. Sit down. No, we not talk about this. And look at some things honestly and truthfully about me. Hardest thing you'll ever do, too. Oh, it's so easy to look at you and say, oh, look at him. I mean, why don't they straighten up? They know better than that. Oh, it's so easy for me to look at you and say everything that's wrong with you. So very difficult for me to do that with me. But that's where we are. That's what we must do. See, we must raise the bar. We must raise the standard. The standard is too low for the church. We can't be content where we are. We can't be content with this powerlessness, this lack of authority, and go around talking about, I'm a child of God. God be hiding his face. Oh, no, no, don't tell nobody that. I'm a child of God. No, 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 look. The Bible says this. I think it's Romans 8:14. But for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So listen, if you ain't being led by the Spirit, if you ain't full of the Spirit, don't go around talking ugly about God. Talking about he's my father. See, if God is truly our father, then we should resemble him. We should do some things like him. We should probably represent his son Jesus. So we have to take an assessment of where we are. Any volunteers? I'm joking. We have to take an assessment of where we are. The bar is too low. The standard is too low. We can settle for nothing less. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 4. I'll paraphrase a little bit, but he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. Till we grow up and mature into the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's the bar. The bar is the full measure of the standard of Jesus Christ. And we ain't nowhere near there. I'm not either. But in recognizing where I am, I have and you have the choice to make to say, I'm going to sell it all. I'm going to empty myself out of all this mess that's in me, all this junk that's in me, of all the worldliness that's in me, of all of the lust and lack of love that's in me, of all the deceit that's in me. I'm going to empty myself out. Now, this is another story. Maybe we'll get a chance at another time. But there is a way of this happening. We can't do it. Jesus has to do it. But he has paid the price to do it. And he's willing to do it. And that's the desire of the Father. That we will not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't be intoxicated by the things of this world, but be filled with the Spirit. Stand up. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've given us ears to hear tonight.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
We have heard you. We have heard you perhaps louder than we have desired, but you've spoken nevertheless. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've been releasing and speaking truth in our inward parts, in our inner being. Because you're doing the job you were sent to earth to do. And that was to prepare us, to equip us, to be that bride of Christ. Without spot or wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are doing your work. You're presenting truth to us because you are the Spirit of truth. Now I ask you, Holy Spirit, to strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our hearts that we may not just be hearers of what you've spoken to us, but we may be doers of the word that you release to our hearts. I thank you, Father, that in this very hour, you are moving by your Spirit around the earth as you're stirring the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. As you're calling us unto yourself to sacrifice all, to pay the price, and to empty ourselves of everything of the world system, that we may be filled with your Spirit, that we may be true witnesses unto Jesus Christ. In our city, in our state, in our nation, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're moving in this hour. And just as the disciples moved and you went with them, confirming your word with signs following, I thank you that you do the same for us as you're equipping us. So we thank you, Lord. You love us so much that you're not leaving us where you found us, but you're provoking us to come up higher, to come up to where you have purposed and ordained us to be. And that is nothing less stature of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can we get some altar ministers to come? And we're going to give our offerings as we go out at the door. Our ushers are there. We want to be able to pray. And I think the focus of prayer would be, Lord, strengthen me. Give me the resolve to sell all that I may be filled with the Spirit of God. None of us are so equipped to pray with anybody else, but we're going to be praying for you as we pray for ourselves. And if you're so moved, come and we'll pray. Minister team, will minister. You want prayer, come this way. Thank you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Don't forget the men's meeting this Saturday, April 20th. Flyers out from 2 to 4. Pray for our pastors while they're away. The Spirit of God will rest mightily upon them and with them.